The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Could only mean one thing, and that one thing, it's time for Get More Sports College Football Throwdown Podcast. Oh man, we're fired up around here as usual. It's Friday, November 18th, and my co-host and I have a lot of knowledge to be dropping on everybody this weekend. Hello everybody, I am EJ, of course, the Rainmaker, and my goodness, Eric the Hun. My co-host is joining me as usual. Eric, man, we got a nice bit of games to discuss this weekend. And we got actually a lot to discuss this weekend. We didn't realize we had this much information, but holy cow, man, we're going to be busting out some knowledge this weekend.
Yeah, we have another great slate. I'm excited. We still have teams vying for bowls. We have some big conference matchups. And the SEC, the Pac-12, the Big 12. It's going to be a really exciting week. Got racing is finishing up this weekend. It's all going to be said and done at Miami Homestead. The trucks, Xfinity, and Sprint Cup are all going. Three champions are going to be named at the end of this weekend. Pretty excited, man.
Pretty sure you threw out a bunch of those articles up at GetMoreSports.com for all the readers to enjoy their final race of the weekend or what?
All the articles will be hitting up on the board after all the qualifying is done today. I got somewhere between 12 and 15 football articles up there for everybody to read. A lot of the games we're going to be discussing today. So some of the lines may have changed a little bit there, but anybody who's been following me over at Get More Sports, hopefully got on some of them lines early, and I've been picking pretty well over there for everybody if nobody's really noticed. And hoping to have another good week, man. We've done a lot of talking this week. I think we got a lot of games tech, man.
Yeah, man. And people are noticing, and I can tell you that because I'm the one who's doing all the analytics for the tracking stuff, and your articles are doing pretty damn well, man. No doubt about it. And that's cool stuff, man. Obviously, you know, you want to have people viewing your stuff, and it's when you're doing well, you're going to get that kind of audience, man. And you're doing great, man. On top of the throwdown plays you're handing out, putting up so many other plays up on GetMoreSports.com, man. Fantastic job. Obviously, all year with your racing, too. I mean, what a fun season it was for you, man. I mean, you started from day one at Daytona and pretty much rode out the entire racing scene all the way down to this weekend, man. How much fun was that for you on a personal level?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, I covered five series this year. Two of them are already done. NHRA just finished up last week. You know, shout out to Dan Brown for winning another championship. It was a great IndyCar season. Simone Pagenaud drove off with the title this year, real competitive series. And like I said, it's all coming to an end this weekend, all NASCAR, be wrapped up in Miami. So it's been great. I've appreciated the opportunity, and, you know, we'll get after it next year, man.
Of course you will. And, yeah, it's cool. And, thanks a ton for all the hard work you put in this year, man. Great job. All right, well, you know, now that that's all covered and well said and done, man, it's time to move on. We got college football to discuss, man.
Woo!
Here we go. Man, let me do it again because are you ready? Throw it down! Time. Throw it down, man. We're starting with Cincinnati here Friday night. We have a couple Friday games to discuss before we move on to the massive slate. And Eric, Nippert Stadium, Okay, man. Yeah, we were kind of figuring out, do we really want to discuss this game a lot, because we know the line's been bumping around here. We saw 6.5, 5.5, 7. The line's been bumping around all weekend, man. I took Memphis first half here. I think Memphis can find a way to be up by a field goal at halftime. It was 3 when I got it. I had to boost it up to, from 3.5 down to 3, because I bought it up, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I bought it up to get to 3. I have no problem admitting I could throw $20 extra just to have the field goal here, man. I didn't want to play around for 3.5. I think Memphis can be up by a field goal here, only because Cincinnati's deep, our offense doesn't exist, man. It doesn't exist. 2 field goals in the last 2 weeks. I get that it was BYU, Central Florida, all that. Man, you can't do anything if you can't score. Whether you're home or not, you can't cover if you can't score, Eric.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I have a funny feeling this game was really tough to write on. You know, we debated on really talking too much about it, but they've actually stunk the last couple of weeks. They're at home.
Yeah.
Since he has to win out to get a bowl game, I'm really hoping that their offense is, you know, it's not that Memphis has a bad defense. They're just not a great defense. I'm hoping that Cincinnati turns it around this week, puts some points on the board. I believe Memphis is going to score. I love your pick. That's where my money's going, Memphis halftime. I did recommend the over, which is risky, to the readers. I really think that could go either way. But I think Cincinnati's going to figure it out this week at home, and let's hope they put up some points. I think Memphis is going to find their fair share of points. I really do. So, you know, Memphis has been giving up some points on the road this year. Well, we'll have to see how it all goes. They've also played some pretty good defense at times this year, too. So it was a tough game for me to pick. It was a real tough game for me to pick. When I wrote the article, the halftime, you know, the first half lines weren't out yet. So that being said, I love your pick, and I don't see why that's not going to happen. Memphis is the better team here.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be shy by keeping it 3.5 if you really need to. I like little safety nets. I have no problem throwing $15-$20 as a safety net here and there, just because I like doing that, man. I'm not afraid to push a bet here and there. Over the course of a season, like you and I both know, turning losses into pushes over the course of an entire season can change your entire bankroll, man. And putting yourself in that position, whether it costs $10 or $15 or not, sometimes is not the worst thing in the world out there. It's not just about winning every damn bet you make. You got to put yourself in a position to push here and there. How many times, Eric, has it paid off and we've taken advantage of little stupid things like that? Like I said, over the long haul, over the long season, those things add up, man. We'll see if it factors in this week, but we'll see what happens. Points, I know you were talking off the air before we came on about having that over posted, and you were like, oh, boy, this is going to be one of the closest calls I've made in a while, man. I know you're a little bit of concern here about this total, because it's going to be tough. Cincinnati's not really playing that well. Just like we said, 2 field goals the past 2 weeks. BYU just absolutely said no. And, when you put up 2 field goals, all of a sudden you expect, well, I think they should just turn around here. It's going to be tough, man. But luckily, you know, you do have that Memphis defense that can be porous at times, coming off a 49-point last weekend. So, yeah, man, you can get 58 here. Right, you're looking at, what were you looking at here? 58, I thought it was 58.5, right?
Yeah, it's when the article went off, I believe it was at 57.5, so 58 would do it for me.
All right.
You know, since he didn't move the ball last week, they were pushing towards 400 yards offense. They had 3 huge turnovers that really cost them on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that push at home is going to get it done. I'm not expecting the world out of Cincinnati here. But it would be nice if they could put up 21 points. If they could put up somewhere between, I'm figuring 18 to 24 points here, I think Memphis can cover the rest. Memphis can score in bunches. Cincinnati's defense hasn't played all that great this year. I'm kind of rooting for the home team. Maybe they'll have one of them crazy blackouts over there, and, Cincinnati will figure out a way to put some points on the board. I love your Memphis halftime pick, though. I really do. I think it's great for the listeners. Like I said, I didn't have that opportunity to put that in the article at that time. Otherwise, I would probably lean towards that pick. But, nice job, Rainmaker. It's always nice to have a little action on Friday. Maybe, we got a couple games tonight. Another one we're going to discuss here in a minute with Boise. And, it's always nice to try to go into a Saturday with some wins behind you already, I know we already are doing that this week. I mean, we've done pretty well on the mat this week already. So.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Thanks to Eastern Michigan out there, huh? Doing it again, Eric. You know, man. We've had some nice plays during the week so far, but obviously we can't account for much of that because we didn't talk about it here. But you mentioned the other game, man. Boise State. Did you see the Boise State team total came out, Eric? It finally came out, man, and it came out at 47. And I don't think I've ever actually hit a submit button any quicker because the second it came out, I said, okay, good enough, getting it in, move it in, put it in there now. Don't even wait to play around and see if it moves to 48 or 40. Dude, 47 points for Boise tonight against UNLV. Really? Listen, man. Again, there's no way Boise's going to have less than 47 points on this board tonight. I don't see how they can stop them from doing it. So, like I said, that Boise State team total of 47, all over it on two ways from Sunday, man. Where are you going here?
Yeah, I agree with you again. I really do. I'm not myself playing the team total here, but I do see a lot of points in this game. I was pretty impressed with the yardage, actually, that UNLV racked up last week. I don't know if people know, they rolled up 401 yards rushing against Wyoming and 653 total yards offense, second most in school history against Wyoming, who we'll be talking about later. Yeah, I mean, this junior quarterback, Kurt, you know, Palandek or whatever, steps in and first start of the season, and he went off, man. Threw for three touchdowns, ran for another, set career high in passing yards and over the ground. I mean, the defense is really suspect. They gave up another 35 self points this year. I love points in this game. I'm playing the
over. How much fun, Eric, how much fun was watching that Wyoming game last weekend, man? You and I were sitting here dying laughing. Just 135. Wait. I can't even get through it. Dude, they gave up 135 points in that game. That was outrageous game, man. You and I were both sitting here dying, just going, oh, my God, again, another – oh, boy. I mean, man, that was so much fun. For those who don't know what Eric and I do on Saturday, I basically call him at 11 a.m. We watch the rest of game day. We watch Lee put out his thing. And then we basically proceed to sit here and watch 12 hours of football together, which I'm probably assuming we're both going to be doing on Saturday again because that's what we do and that's what we do. So, yeah, man, catching that game was a blast, obviously, man. So, yeah. And now how do you not reflect on that and then think, well, now they're going to Boise to play on the blue turf this weekend and Boise State is put up and shut up. My God, man. Going to the blue turf, man. How are they going to stop Boise from putting up 47 points? After giving up 66 to UNLV, granted the overtimes and all the madness that happened there was good. My God, how much football did UNLV play last week? But, Eric, man, what was it? 66, right? 60, right? I believe it's 60. What is that? 66, right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just got it in today. I believe it was 66 points. This is going to be a pretty high-scoring game here. I don't know if 70 would be enough. And look at Boise State, you know, quietly at 9-1 again. Here we go. They win this weekend 10-1. We think that kind of, and it even bodes well to the over here is, you know, they've struggled on the blue turf a little bit over the last couple of years. We talked about a couple of their losses last year, and they're 0-5 against the spread at home this year. So that kind of bodes well for, we could be putting up some more points again. I love this over, and I love that team total. I there's probably not going to be anything wrong with the UNLV team total. I just see a lot of points in this game, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you're talking about a total of 66, and you see last week it was 69 or 66, it's just like it was really. And, you had a great segue there because we were talking about Boise State being 10-1 maybe after this game, which, I mean, they're favored by 28. So they're probably going to walk out of here with another victory. And Western Michigan being 10-0 too, man. You know, both of those two teams are 20th and 21st in the nation. And we have seven teams in the rankings with three losses, man. What now? Listen, I think we all get the whole strength of conference and the opponents that they have and what goes on with all that kind of stuff. Then, because if Boise State and Western Michigan both end up going 11-1 and 12-0 and all that, and they're still stuck down here in the 18th and 17th, which they probably will be I you know, you and I talked off the air about that. I think it sucks that Western Michigan might end up playing a team with four losses in a crap bowl game early in the year where no one's going to really get to experience that madness over there with that team's playing some goddamn football, and no one's going to get to really enjoy it, man, because Western Michigan's playing football in case you missed it, man. And, you know, it's a shame, though, that they might have to end up playing a four-loss team ranked about 20th just because of a strength of schedule and all the teams that they play in that conference. I still get it, Eric, but I still think it sucks. I think it sucks for Western Michigan.
Yeah, you know, kudos for game day. They're going there. And they're going to the best for Western Michigan this week. Hey, good to them. We discussed this. It's really, you know, we don't know how it's all going to lay out. I mean, right now nobody seems, besides Roll Tide, everybody just seems like we're saying it's hot potato. You know, Louisville played hot potato one last time, and now, look, they're done. So, Washington played hot potato. Michigan played hot potato. We just go down the line. So we don't know what's going to happen here. I assume Western Michigan's going to handle Buffalo. They're really not worth taking home to mom about. They're probably their favorite big. I see them getting a win here, and I was telling you, if they face Toledo or Miami, Ohio, in that MAC championship game, I think they field the better team. I like their chances of running the table, and, yeah, they could end up playing a 3- or 4-loss team undefeated. It's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're favored by 35 points. I'm pretty sure Lee Corso is going to be putting on a Western Michigan fabricated headgear of some sort. That's a really strange thing, too, Eric. Why is 2-8 Buffalo playing 10-0 Western Michigan on ESPN game day? Is this to help Lee with his record? I mean, I know his record's shit, and everyone's kind of like, we got to find somewhere we go where we can give Lee an easy win. Imagine if Buffalo beats Western Michigan this weekend, man. Oh, boy. You know, do you want to talk about the bear at all, by the way, who can't seem to pick his ass from his elbow? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I know you love that. You got to talk about it, man, because I know you saw his three absolute debacles last week.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty funny. I kind of turned you on to the bear here a while ago, and that's all I heard from you throughout the day on Saturday was, that bear screwed the pooch again. Barry, screwed the pooch again. Barry, screwed the pooch again.
Yeah,
it'll
man.
Be interesting. I don't think you'll be putting Buffalo on the board going there. And, you know, I don't think it's just – I understand. I mean, it's a terrible matchup, but – you know, I think I just really appreciate game day going there and giving some love, because I think they know too that they're not going to get the love they deserve to play, you know, in a bowl game they probably deserve to play in. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. We still got, you know, some recent football left, so we'll see how it goes. But this will be interesting to see how their season plays out. I do expect them to win out and to win the MAC, and we'll see who they get matched up with in a bowl game. And, you know,
imagine if they meet up with Gus in that championship game, man. Oh boy, imagine if Gus makes it to the championship game. I know we're all thinking that. We're all proud of Gus, and we know what Gus has done. If Miami, Ohio reaches that, and wins that division, Eric, and Western Michigan. I mean, that could be interesting, at least. I mean, at least.
Yeah, I mean, Redwood's having himself a great comeback this year. I mean, you know, after taking back over and healthy, and, you know, it does we trust, and that's all well, and it's all fun, and I think that'll come to a halt if they end up playing Western Michigan. It's just that team's loaded over there. But, you know, I definitely think we'd be maybe taking that spread, well, that cover there. I'll tell you that right now.
Until Gus Ragland starts playing defense, Eric, it's not going to happen. Yeah, I can kind of feel that too. let's move on here. We were talking about Boise State being ranked 20th and Western Michigan ranked 21st. Right behind them, man, Washington State, and they have themselves a little bit of a big game this weekend, man, getting 5.5 just right now. They're getting 5.5. It was 4.5 earlier in the week. I know that total's been kind of flopping around from 60, 61, 59, jumping around a little bit over at Folsom Field. And that's a 3:30 game we're going to discuss right here, Eric. And, my God. You know, Washington State and Washington game, that Big Apple, that I might decide some things over there. Eric, let's talk about the pack over here, because I'm going to call this a down year in the pack. How many people had Washington and Washington State actually playing for something big here, and their game might be deciding who goes where? And Washington and Washington State in the pack, huh? It's just weird season, man. And to see Washington State, they're ranked 22nd at 8-2. It's a big game for them, man, especially on the road, going to a Colorado team that's playing pretty well too, Eric.
Yeah, they really have. You know, if you really take a good look at Colorado, and you know I've kind of been riding that Buffalo this year. And
I know.
I mean, let's face it. Okay, Michigan did lose to Iowa, and they let you know, Ann Arbor down. I mean, I get it. But Colorado went in there and was taking it to them all the way through halftime in the opening game of the year, if you remember. And until the quarterback went down, and then everything changed. The only other loss on the Buffaloes' record, and I think everybody now is starting to become a believer, and Mr. Sam Darnold, USC over there, that's their only other loss, a four-point loss on the road. So, I mean, they came within a halftime and a four-point game of being undefeated this year. And now they're at home. They field one of the nation's toughest defenses. Yeah, they're going to be tested with that. Mike Leach throwing that ball all over the place. I mean, I wrote the article, and I don't know if you've seen it, but I made the comment in there. You know, he'll throw the ball to anybody. He'll throw it to me and you up around the field. I mean, it's pretty amazing. They have, four receivers over there. Well, 8 receivers that have caught over 20 passes, 4 that have caught over 40. I mean, Luke Falk will just throw the ball around to anybody. Coming off a 5-touchdown performance and a pick last week, man, this is going to be a battle. This is going to be a game I'm going to be glued to the TV. This is not going to be one I'm going to be, you know, clicking off of very often. This is going to be a fun game to watch, EJ.
Yeah. Oh, we're certainly going to have this game on. Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's a bunch of 3:30 games too, but yeah, I mean, you got to have your eyes on this. This is, you're talking about two 8-2 teams are going to be playing for something pretty big here. Colorado's 5-0 at home, man. Hey. 9-1 against the spread this year too, Eric. That's, you know, when you said you've been on Colorado all year and talking about them all year and all that. Well, you know, when they're 9-1 against the spread and you've been talking about them all year, that's probably a good thing. So, you know, this line's actually jumped up to 6 at DSI. I bet DSI actually has Colorado at 6 right now. I'm sorry. Excuse me. There's no way I'm letting that 6 points just kind of go there. Eric, isn't this a position where you might want to suggest if someone's getting 6 and you want to bump a line up to 7 here, maybe save yourself a little bit of a headache, and you're going to tell me that Washington State can't cover a touchdown at Colorado? These two are pretty evenly matched teams, man. They're both playing well. They both have a lot to play for. Why isn't this going to be a close game? I mean, I guess you don't need the whole 7, but stupid shit happens, man. You know that this could be a 31-31 game going into the fourth, you know, late into the fourth quarter. A touchdown makes it 38-31, and you just had a close game, screw you, on the last play of the game when the game was fantastic and you were in it the whole damn time and they were never recovering 7 at any point in the game. But in the last minute, the last play of the game, they get a touchdown, and all those 3 hours you just sat here watching that game went to waste because of 1 point. Eric, do you not want to consider buying that point up to 7 here and putting it maybe in a combo to kind of give yourself a little bit of a safety net? Is this not that kind of a position you want to be in here?
Yeah, you know, a half point in this game is a lot to me. I really think the Cougars are going to give Colorado all they can handle. The underdog is 5-1 against in their last 6 meetings here. And the road team plays really well in the series. I love our Washington State to cover the 4.5. And now that I have that half point that I like so much, and now I move to 6, I don't see any problem with putting in the combo, pushing up to 7.5. You know, you're going to sleep better at night, you know, tomorrow night or tonight for that game, and you're going to get 7.5, and I'm sure you can find a 2 or 3-game parlay to put that in there with. Yeah, I'm all about buying that up. I'm all about half points, and I think the Cougars are going to cover this game, man. I really do.
No, we talked about it before, too, man. There's certain spots where buying yourself a little bit of a hook here and there is not the worst thing in the world. And again, man, I hate to see a great game between these two get spoiled by something late that a 7-point game ends up coming down. You're just like, oh, man. You know, how often, even if it does get to overtime, we can still see some kind of disaster like that, Eric. You're sitting there thinking, man, I got six. They're going overtime. I got this. You don't. You don't yet. And if they go, again, if they go up 38-31 overtime and they don't convert their half of it, now what? You just threw away $200 or $500 or whatever it is over the fact that you could have just bought yourself a little bit of a safety net here. I think this is that spot when you see a six like that in a big game with 2-8-2 teams playing for something. Buy it. Buy it up, please. It's good advice. I think it's good advice, Eric.
Yeah, I really do. It's a really interesting matchup on this, too.
Oh, man.
Luke is going to bring his 3,600 yards, 33 touchdowns, and 6 picks into Boulder, and Colorado is stout in the secondary. They're one of the best in the country. They're only giving up 176 yards per game, and I believe it's 10th in the country. And, on the flip side of that coin, Colorado loves to run the ball. And when you think of the Cougars' defense, you don't really think of the Cougars in defense, but they are 20th in the country this year against the run. They're giving up under 120 yards a game. So, we got each team's strength kind of getting washed out by each team's defense here. This is going to be a fun game, man. Big dog, baby. Big dog. This game is for a lot of marbles.
Yeah. Yeah, even if you don't have to buy it, I guess, but either put yourself in a position to do it or just, think dogs here, right? I agree, man. And I assume that was part of your play that you put on the website was thinking dog and taking some points. You just said at that point you had 4.5. And so now, how does that affect how you feel about it now? I mean, getting 5.5 now, 6 at some sites, what can you do about that?
I was tickled pink with the 4.5. I was truly tickled pink at that. In a game of this magnitude, you've got to think both teams are going to bring the best that they have to the table. And, Vegas is going to, when I wrote the article, put that at 4.5, and you know me, and a half points there. 21-17, 31-27. Don't think this game necessarily be a shootout either. There's going to be a lot of pressure on these two schools. I love the half point. I'm thinking dog here, and now it's up to 6. I told you, I'm putting it in one of a parlay, and to boost it up to 7.5 to make a little more money off of it. Don't think that the Cougars couldn't come out of Boulder with a win here.
But like they can't walk out of there with a win. Of course they can. That's part of why you take dog there. You don't just take a dog to kind of cover. You're really hoping, your dog can go in there and actually win. Nobody really takes a dog thinking, I just think they can keep it close. Unless you're talking about those 38s and and the 40s and all that stuff where you're just kind of hoping your dog hangs around. But in this situation, you got to be thinking, if I'm taking this dog better have a damn good chance to park big. And, Washington State can certainly walk in here and beat them, man. They handled them last year. Didn't they handle them last year? I remember that game was really a low-scoring game, if I remember. I don't have it in front of me. I know that was – remember Colorado only had a couple field goals or something in that game. It was 27-3. Sorry, I just found it. So they certainly held them down last year. We'll see what happens. Obviously, we're thinking dog here, but let's move on, Eric. You're going to the swamp. And, Florida. Last year, Leonard Fournette had himself a day, man. 31 rushes, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. No, in a reception for 15 yards, he pretty much had about 200 all-purpose yards in a decent day as LSU went on to beat them down. Obviously, that second quarter, oh, my God, man. LSU put up 28 points in that second quarter, and that was pretty much it, man. That game was done. It's up to 15 now, Eric. This is a tough game because LSU is going to beat down Florida. LSU is going to beat down Florida. Eric, this isn't Southern Miss and Missouri and Jacksonville and all. Florida's the 7-2 team here, Eric. You want to give me 15 points? I know you're thinking the other way here. You and I are going to have a little bit of discussion. You're taking LSU to cover this massive spread. It's up to 15. I know you were talking 13.5 in your article. I'm getting 15 now, so there's a little bit of a debate there, too, on the line movement. I get it. But, my God, man, well, Florida's going to get beat down by who and why? LSU? It's a good game, man. It's going to be a good game, obviously.
Yeah, I've been saying it. People that have been listening to this podcast, they've heard me say time and time again that there's always that one article that I write out of those 14, sometimes a couple, where I wouldn't lay any money on it. I just They're not really interested. This is it. This is the game, right? They're really, you know, vanilla offenses, really physical, overperforming defenses. I don't expect a whole lot of big plays here. I just think LSU's defense in Death Valley is going to hold Florida to, you know, somewhere between 7 and 14 points. I recommended LSU, of all things, a favorite by almost, by double digits. And then, you know, I just used the half point in my advantage here. I even threw down the score for everybody. I never do that. I said 27-13 LSU. I didn't know what to do this game. So either way, as far as that goes, it's disgusting. And I just think LSU at home plays a whole different brand of defense. And, you know, Florida's bringing in that Luke Del Rio kid again. I know this is his fourth game he's going to be starting, but, you know, he hasn't really been all that impressive. Florida's offense has really struggled, and especially on the road. I will see that. I mean, they kind of came to life against Tennessee, but who hasn't? This is Death Valley. This is LSU's defense. How many points do you think are going to be in that game, Rainmaker?
Ooh, that's a tough one, too, because, well, you know, you just mentioned Florida's defense. We know UMass is not on the bag of chips, but, you know, but yet we know they can score. Kentucky's having a pretty damn good season. They held them down to, 32-0 beatdown, obviously, we saw, and Vanderbilt's 6 points. But you talked about, you know, we were talking about it being a down year in the pack. Let's talk about the down year that's going on in the SEC here, because we're talking about a lot of teams. Missouri is a disaster, absolute disaster. South Carolina's a disaster. Tennessee was never anything that anybody thought they were going to be. You know, Kentucky's going to be the big surprise that comes out of this whole conference this year. It's like the story of, wow, where the hell did they come from? So, you know, I mean, LSU struggled. We know LSU struggled. We knew they were going to struggle against Alabama. They did. We knew that they were going to have decent success against Arkansas, and they did. I don't know, man. I don't see either one of these two offenses is good enough to kind of take out their defenses combined, man. This is like a 21-13 type of game for me. Obviously that's why the 38 total is sitting there. Vegas is kind of expecting the same kind of score, and I get why. I mean 38.5. How often do you see a team favored by 14, 15 points in a total of 38? I mean that's. You know, this is like Alabama, where they're always favored by 45 and the total is 51 because we know they're going to win 45-6 because that's what Alabama does. But, you know, in this case, man, a 15-point line and a 38 total, you're fucking 20 points in between there, man. This is a strange game. I can understand why you're like, you know, I don't know what I've done with my money yet because I haven't. And it was kind of weird that we were going to talk about this game because throwing about money here. I think I'm just going to take Florida out of principle here with the 15 points just to say, you know what, at least I thought dog and I hoped that they were going to hang around. They are the team with the better record here. Keep Leonard Fournette out of your backfield, and you should be okay. Does Florida not aware of what Alabama – take the Alabama program and work on it and try and put your players in the same damn position that they were in, because you can have some success shutting down Leonard Fournette if you actually know how to do it. So, you know, take a playbook or take a page out of the Alabama playbook a little bit here. They know how to shut them down. So do something about it. Or let Leonard Fournette beat you down. What's it going to be, Eric?
Well, I can see him completely stacking the box. And I want to make one correction, too, and all the listeners out there, you got to forgive me. I cover so many games during a week for Get More Sports. I get a little topsy-turvy sometimes. Actually, the backup quarterback, Austin Appleby, will be playing for the Gators. And, you know, there's not a real big difference there. So, you know, you can say Del Rio, you can say Appleby. Either way, I don't think either of them would have success in that. I think the Gators are going to stack the box. They're going to try to make Etling beat him with his arm. He hasn't really beaten anybody with his arm. Both offenses are lackluster, at best through the passing game, at least.
Appleby at least took a little bit of a step in the right direction last week. And, I mean, he only had 4 ball drops. I get he only threw 20 balls around, but at the same token, he only had 4 balls dropped, man. It's a pretty nice output. He had 6 different receivers with a whole bunch of catches. So, you know, I mean, at least it's progress. Can I at least, just, if anything, can I at least just call it progress, man?
Yeah, Antonio Callaway is going to have a big game for the Gators.
Yeah.
They're going to have to not. If you, the worst thing you can do with LSU and Death Valley is go in there one-dimensional. And unfortunately, Florida is one-dimensional. And Callaway's going to have his best game of the year just to take some pressure off of that running game. Both defenses are going to stack the box here. The big difference to me is the Tigers can romp on you with two running backs. Last week, if you noticed, it wasn't Mr. Fournette doing all the damage. Yeah, he had three touchdowns. I get it. That's pretty impressive. 98 yards. Right. But Mr. Darius Geis over there went for 252 and two touchdowns. So, you know, they can
only 20 carries. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wow. And I believe Arkansas held Florida to like 34 yard rushing the week before. So, what's LSU going to hold Florida to? I don't see a lot of points. I don't know where they're going to come from in this game. That line's so low at 38. Oh, I just thought the game sucked the breeze. It really did. It's a big game. I get that the SEC's big, and I get that, you know, there's probably half a million fans on each side here of both teams, and it's just not a, you know, I'll be watching the Washington State game. Basically, is what I'm saying. I don't know what to think of this one. I know usually when there's a question, we think dogs. The Gators are, you know, 10-4 against the spread on their last 14 road games. The favorite in the series is 4-1 against the spread. Everything contradicts itself. Phooey. Phooey. I don't know what to think about this game. I gave my recommendation. I think it's going to be 27-13. At the time when I wrote the article, the half point worked in my favor. That's my call. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. I'm taking Florida to cover 15. Then let's move on to McLean Stadium. I know that K-State better line. This K-State better line has been jumping every hour. Every hour, Eric, it's K-State by two. And then it's a pick, and then it's Baylor by a pick or 1 point, and then it's a pick, and then it's Baylor by a point, and then it's K-State by a point, Baylor pick. Okay, man, what are we doing here? What the hell is the public doing here, man? Eric, K-State, I don't even care. Eric, what the hell is K-State going to do to Baylor? So people out there are, when the line moves up, they start playing Baylor more because they think Baylor's going to hang around at home and do what against K-State's defense? Eric, man, the public is blind. You're blind. I'm sorry, man. K-State's going to walk in there and say, thank you very much for sucking.
Wow. I don't know how many people watched the Baylor game last week. If they did, so a lot of people got sick to their sticks when they seen the way Seth's career ended. Pretty brutal. I told you that if Baylor gets beat down again, you can stick a fork in them. This university's been through so much. This program has with everything that's happened, and now that the coup de grace. I mean, my gosh, his leg was thrown in three different directions, dude. It was disgusting. On top of just getting absolutely killed, and now. The new quarterback is going to be stepping in, and the Zach Smith era is going to begin against the Wildcat defense. Now, one thing K-State's been doing all year is playing defense, brother. I understand that is their offense is even more vanilla maybe than LSU's. They can't throw the ball around. They run 3 yards at a time, three yards in the cloud of dust. Boy, this defense has just been solid all year, Rainmaker. Tell me, they got to be licking their chops to see this kid over in Baylor in the struggling program. And this is going to get a full eligible. I love what you're talking here, man. I am picking up what you're laying down. Kansas State's got something to prove. I think Kansas State is going to pass them.
Yeah, I mean, except for the Oklahoma's taking it to them. K-State's obviously played all right, man. But, you know, K-State hasn't won 3 games in a row at all this season. They had that chance last week again. They have Baylor, Kansas, and TCU left. Obviously, they're, you know, sitting on that precarious 5-4 record right now. I think we all can expect a huge line for that K-State-Kansas game next week. They're going to be favored to destroy that team. Can they finish out 3-0 and head to the bowl game is the big question here, man. That's what they're going to need to do. I mean, they're going to need to do it. They obviously have to beat Kansas to become bowl eligible at all. And can they beat Baylor or TCU? Because TCU at the end of the year is going to be that's no cupcake. That's going to be a tough game for them to win too, man. So K-State's really got to look at this as an opportunity to take on a quarterback who has very limited experience on this field. On top of with everything Baylor's going through, I now shot Clint Lynn was going to be back. And we took a shot last week with Oklahoma, didn't we? It didn't work out. So, yeah, I guess now we have to roll reverse here and fade Baylor, especially with no line here. Eric, no, there's no line. It's a pick-em game, man. All you need K-State to do is win this football game.
Yeah. Again, it's just the wrong place, wrong time for this poor kid to have to have his first start. Now, maybe, I don't know anything about this. He obviously, it's, becoming quarterback university over there. We know they're a system ball club. But, man, this is K-State. There's a fellow over there, defensive end named by the name of Jordan Willis, who leads the Big 12 in sacks with 9 of them. Thinking he might get 4-3, maybe a nice little turnover. No matter how I play this out, I would rather have Jesse Ertz, who can at least run the football. We know this.
Yep.
And they're going to limit Baylor's chances for whatever. And I told you earlier before we were on the show, maybe it'd be a good thing if they, let the new kid out there to throw the ball around. But, I just, for the life of me, I can't see why this is an even pick-em game, man. I see K-State winning this game. I see K-State winning Kansas. And TCU's, I could see K-State being 8-4, 7-5. I wouldn't have any qualms about either. I see K-State gets the job done. I think they're going to pound on Kansas the following week. Whatever happens in TCU will happen. I hope when they get matched up in a bowl game, I hope it's against another defensive maniac team. Because, you got to like defensive football if you want to watch K-State. Huh?
Yeah. Yep. We're thinking K-State here on the road, kids. Whether you have to take the point, get the point, pick it, whatever it is. I guess it's going to depend on when you get there and when you what time it is on your sports book. You might make that play, and then you might go to hit submit. They might say, the line has moved. Please adjust your line. I mean, it should be like that. So, just put K-State in however you have to put them in there. Obviously, either way, we're talking about a point picks. Yeah, move on. All right. Move on, man. Oklahoma, West Virginia, Eric. Yeah. Oh, man. This is a game. 3.5 points now, man. And I'm actually seeing 4 at a couple of sites. So the line's moving up. You're going to tell me this is going to be like a 5 or 6 point spread at some point because Oklahoma's going to walk into West Virginia. Are you serious, man? Go ahead, man. You start with this, sir, because I'll give you my little interpretation of what we're going to see here later. Go ahead, man.
I don't know if it's going to get that high, but, obviously the reason it is moving up, the betting public is paying attention to what Mr. Westbrook and Mr. Mayfield are doing over there. I mean, they're at least the top 3 wide receiver to quarterback to wide receiver combos in the nation. But how many times have we taken West Virginia overs this year and they're just not happening? I mean, they are the epitome of a bend but don't break defense. This is 3.5. I mean, when I wrote the article, I suggested to the readers that they take Oklahoma to cover, but it was 2.5. A field goal is going to cover. On the other side of this too. Please explain to me, Rainmaker, how there's not going to be points in this game. I get it. Oklahoma's been playing a little better defensive football lately. Okay, fair enough. But they're bringing the 121st ranked secondary in the country, man. They're giving up 297 yards a game. They've allowed 26 touchdown passes. And you're telling me Skylar Howard isn't licking his chops for this game?
That's what I'm saying, too, especially when you have the crowd in your favor. That's worth an extra field goal to me, man. So, to me, I'm taking this 3.5-point dog at home for me. I'm taking West Virginia this week. You know, I haven't been sold on what those stupid boys are doing over there all year. Yeah, they bit me here and there. I got it. I get it, man. But I'm just not convinced they're going to go into West Virginia and actually beat them by if it's a field goal game to me, I'll be like, yeah, I'm expecting a field goal type of game here. I don't see why it won't come down to the last possession of the game. I don't think it's going to be one of those 51-31 blowouts. Well, Oklahoma's not going to walk in here and beat this team down, man. Hopefully. I mean, they better not. West Virginia is actually, 8-1. They've only lost one game. They actually are playing for a lot here. they go 9-1. Yeah, man. This is their opportunity to be that team that they were back when we all remember what this game was about back in the day, Arch. So this is their opportunity to prove. Yeah, go ahead, man.
I feel you. This is their opportunity to shine. It really is. I think another reason that you see the line going the other way than what you're thinking is because if you really take a good look at West Virginia, and this isn't their fault. Everybody's had, teams that we thought were going to be good one and things, it's the college football season. But, they played one team inside the top 25 this year, man, and they lost. And that's a lot of concern betters out there. I mean, that half their, quality matchups and the strength of schedule do matter. I mean, obviously, it basically in the end determines who's going to be playing for a national championship. West Virginia absolutely needs this win to prove that they can take down a team like Oklahoma, who's flown back up through the rankings because of their offensive productivity. And then let's just face it, man, they're on a roll right now. So, yeah, this is going to be West Virginia's biggest game of the year. Granted, of course, whatever they play, if they win this game, man, sky's the limit for these guys. This is going to be a hell of a football game. The Sooners are playing for a football game, too.
I hear what you're saying, man. At the same token, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Kansas, Iowa State, and Baylor in the last four games, And obviously we know what the situation was in that Baylor game. Was a complete mess and a debacle, and the last thing they needed without one of their big boys is to lose their other big boy. So that was just an absolute disaster for them. And, I think Oklahoma's kind of been taking advantage of the schedule a little bit here because Kansas, man, they gave up 59 points to Texas Tech, by the way. We'll see about all that.
Yeah, it's another conference that's just, again, it's like you were mentioned with the Pac-12, like you mentioned with the SEC. I mean, again, they're down a little bit. I mean, all right, Texas Tech is Texas Tech. I mean, they're a 500 ball club, maybe by the end of the year, 50-some points to 50-some points. Kansas is just horrible again. TCU is having a really disappointing year so far. Baylor's falling off a cliff. Texas, strong as Johnson, Charlie's, his job's in jeopardy. West Virginia got outgained by him, almost doubled up by Texas, and Texas got beat. So, this is a great crop here, and, the winner of this game is going to win the Big 12, man. That's just probably how this is going to play out. So, if Oklahoma can give West Virginia their second loss, they don't have a playoff over there. Oklahoma's going to walk away with the Big 12, and if West Virginia plays, they're going to do the same. So it's a huge game, man. This is relatively for all the marbles over in the Pac-12.
Pretty much, man. I'll take West Virginia to cover that 3.5, and if it jumps up to 4, there won't be much I can do about it by then because I already have 3.5 in, but don't be surprised if it moves to 4. I see it moving in 4 in Las Vegas. And usually when it moves there, it moves in all the sports books, too. So kind of pay attention. I guess we'll see what happens there. Yeah, I'm taking the points in the home dog. Give me a home dog in a big game with one loss. Thank you. At home. Just like we talked about. They play a lot of the same teams. Man, these two aren't, this isn't a crazy thing. These two have played a lot of the same teams here. So, and we know this. So, your garbage is my garbage. exactly. All right, so let's move on, man. We got another big game to discuss. And you know where we're going here, man. Wyoming.
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 San Diego State coming to town, man, playing some football. And then, by the way, Wyoming's playing some football. In case you haven't noticed, Wyoming's offense is actually pretty good. And they got a guy over there who can run the football, Eric.
Two of the best running backs in the country, man. Bottom
yeah.
line.
Yeah.
Two top five running backs in the country. All you hear about is Fournette. Yeah. You know, seriously, this is all you hear about are all these big school running backs. I'm telling you right now, Mr. Pumphrey and Mr. Hill are flat out going to be playing on Sunday. And they are had great careers, and now they're going to square off against one another. This is I kind of thought it'd be cool if game day went there, man. This is a really cool matchup. San Diego is the more well-rounded team. We know that Wyoming doesn't play a whole lot of defense over there. So Mr. Hill's going to have his work cut out for him. We know San Diego State will come at you with more than just Pumphrey. But Wyoming, they're at home here. You've kind of been liking Wyoming all year. This should be a pretty fun game here. We'll have to see if Wyoming can stay with them. I mean, can that defense show up and hold that San Diego State running game down? That's going to be the big question here, man.
Yeah. San Diego State's probably already there, and they probably practiced there today, and they're like, please don't let today be like tomorrow. And luckily, it won't be, man, because today the high in Laramie, Wyoming was 25 degrees, and tomorrow is supposed to be 50. So San Diego State at least escaped that death cold, man. Because let me tell you something, man. And I'm not talking to you because you and I have both lived in Montana. We both know. I'm not talking to you, Eric. I'm talking to everybody out there. Let me tell you something. when it's 14 degrees in Laramie, Wyoming, it's cold. It's cold, man. I mean, Eric and I have both been to Laramie, been through Laramie, around Laramie, and found our way to Laramie. And you freeze your ass off in that section of the woods.
God, freezing cold.
Man, it's just, ugh, my God. So, yeah, luckily, at least San Diego won't have to deal with that because San Diego State coming to Wyoming. And but even if it's 50 degrees, Eric. And we are talking about, what time is our game? That's a 3:30 game, luckily. So, luckily, it wouldn't be a night game.
It's just going to be 50 degrees. It won't be a problem.
Yeah.
And let's face it, most of these teams, they like to run the football. And we do know, everybody else knows in the world, too. I mean, yeah, cold sucks. It really does. And it is cold. And, well, I mean, you know, that's flat. That's what state, wow, you know. But the one thing it affects the least is the running game. And, I mean, how many carries combined are we going to see in this game? I mean, it's going to be over 100 runs, right? Maybe close to 100, 85 to 100 runs in this game.
If it's 69 to 66 again like it was last week with Wyoming, who knows, man?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, 104. We talked about the 135 points before when we were talking about the UNLV. Now we're talking about it again, man. I mean, it's just, again, you look at something like that, and not even, Eric, Wyoming's offense has been outrageous. Who do you want to put in front of him, man? Because we are talking about some tough teams here. And they did go to Nebraska. You know, they did play Nebraska this year. Yeah, they lost there. But that's just pretty still a nice non-conference opponent for them to at least deal with. You know, I mean, we are still talking about Nebraska. here we go. 6 in a row for San Diego State. Cruising, man. I mean, they're cruising. And we know these teams don't like each other. Wyoming completely struggled against them last year, man. They got nothing. I mean, it was just, you're not going anywhere. We're not giving you anything. Our defense is so much. But this is not the same instance. I'm expecting points here, Eric. I see that 58, and I know 58 is kind of high. These two are going to run the ball all day, and then they're going to keep running the ball all day. Yeah, man, I see the 58 points coming in here. How do you feel? I know we respect these two defenses a ton. But just not today.
It scares me. If you have to err on the side of anything, I'd err on the side of the over. Total. But let's not forget, okay? If you think you're going to run the ball on the Aztec front seven, you best think again.
Oh.
They're second in the nation. 86 yards a game. That's what they're giving up right now. I'm telling you. Now, Wyoming might get their 130, 140 yards. They over the ground because Mr. Hill is so talented. And that's where you're going to get your total there. But I think San Diego Fields, the all-around better football team. Not only do they have two running backs that they're going to pound Wyoming with, and Wyoming really doesn't feel to the defense whatsoever.
No, no.
But San Diego State does field another top 10 in the nation defense here, man, at least top 15.
They do.
I kind of like the Aztecs to get a big charge in this game early and let the over hit. I just want to see the Aztecs up at halftime by less than a touchdown. That's kind of what I recommended to everybody. And, there's nothing wrong with the over here. I really don't think there's anything wrong with that either. San Diego State doesn't play as good as defense on the road. So the question is Josh Allen going to be careful with the football? How many times we watched a lot of Wyoming games this year, man? He will throw that ball into a crowd. I mean, he's got to be giving his Coach Harper every time he takes the field. He's got a cannon for an arm. I mean, he's got a cannon for the arm. He's just not accurate, and he throws the ball. He did throw for four touchdowns. I mean, he also had two picks. He better be really careful with that football when the Aztecs are coming to town, man. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. What's that San Diego State team total, man? I'm going to wait for that to come out, too, because, I played that San Diego State team total a ton this year. I'm not going to have not much problem playing that again here. Why wouldn't they put up 40 points? Why won't they put up 40 points? When you're gaining 8 yards at a time and 8 yards at a time and then 18 yards and then 17 yards and then 15 yards, you're going to score. You're going to score. And then you put those two maniacs in that Aztec backfield. Man, who do you want to come at you, man? Because we know what number 19 is going to bring. And now you want to throw that other guy. Dude, he's a maniac, too. Both of those two are maniacs. Now you have three running backs on this field who could be playing on Sunday, in my opinion. 58. Over. I'm taking the over, man. And you took San Diego State first half, right?
I did. I recommended San Diego State Aztecs first half. You get them under a touchdown. And I also said, you know, if you had to err on the side, if you want to play that total, I prefer to put your money on the over there. But, you're right. You know, this Rashad Penny and Danelle Pumphrey, man, you just give them a little crease and they're gone. These guys break big yards. I mean, 208 for Penny last week and 198 for Pumphrey. So they're humming. That's going to mean a lot of points, man. That's going to mean a lot of points.
All right, let's move on, man. Honorable mention time. We're getting to the nitty-gritty of our show here, and I'm going to throw my honorable mentions out here, and Eric will do the same, and then we're going to try and bust out a nice dog of the week for everybody to take advantage of. And here we go, man. Eric, we've talked about that Western Michigan game before. What's that Western Michigan team total going to be? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what it is. That total is 58, and the Western Michigan's going to hit that total by themselves. You want to play the Western Michigan team total, and you want to play that over, too? Feel free. Indiana, Michigan, man. Indiana's not going to be stumped against that Michigan crazy defense. It's 51. I'm sorry. It's going to be like 42-16 or something, man. Michigan's going to score at Indiana all day and have no problem with them. That Navy team total against East Carolina, Eric, what's it going to be? I don't care. Navy team total. Take it over and hit it. And then to hit it twice. Actually, why don't you hit it twice? South Florida, SMU, Eric, 74. Yep. Okay. South Florida, SMU, man, 74. On the board. All day. Penn State team total, Eric. Penn State's playing Rutgers, you know. Yeah, when that Penn State total comes out and you see the Penn State team total, whatever it is, just play it and laugh your way to the bank. Utah State's playing the bottom, man. First half is 27.5, man. You tell me that's not going to be a 14-14 game going to the locker room. At the very least in Utah State, Nevada, then we're both watching different football games. Eric, all right, as I lead my way to the Pittsburgh Duke over 63, which is absolutely hysterical, 63, you're kidding me, man. Those two are going to have, it's going to be 38-35 at halftime, and I'm going to be going 70 what? And we have a whole half of football left. All right, Eric, as I lead my way to my dogs, I'm going to lead my way to there with a big dog. UT San Antonio getting 27.5 against Texas A&M, who has nobody playing quarterback. I'm playing quarterback for Texas A&M this weekend. Fade me. Yeah, man, UT San Antonio is not going to lose by 27.5 points. I'm sorry. And I'll get to my big dog after you bust out your honorable mentions. We'll do our dogs together and get everybody out of here, man. Talk to me about your honorable mentions, man. Hit us.
Well, first of all, I just want to make a few comments on what you did. I love your Navy over. I mean, I love your – it's on the board. It's on my board. Why wouldn't it be? I love the Pitt over. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I did mention you. I did – you know, I was hoping maybe – and I hope you overhit. I kind of think maybe I kind of swayed you a little bit that way with the Indiana game. I mean, Michigan's probably going to get 45. So – yeah, I think Indiana, they're third in the Big Ten in offense. I don't see why they're not going to figure out a way to get 10 or 17 points even with their junk. I like your picks. I really do. What I got here for some people is another game. Kind of interesting. Arkansas going to Mississippi State now. So they put up a bundle of points against each other last year. The Mississippi State quarterback's better than people give him credit for, Rainmaker. He's at home now. Arkansas can move the ball around. I realize they can't stop anybody. That's the point. I recommend the over 60 there. I just think that's money to be had. I love Northwestern going into Minnesota. I get Minnesota's had a pretty good year. I looked at them, and I just don't see how the hell they are where they are right now. I mean, they are just a fish on offense. One thing Northwestern has in that game is talent at all the skill positions over Minnesota. I like they're battle tested. I like straight up Northwestern. You get them at -1.5. You can get better money for it. I also love that Duke Pitt over. Wow, it was on my list here. You kind of stole my thunder there. And I kind of like New Mexico. They're going in to play Colorado State this weekend. And they're bringing the number one rushing offense in football, and Colorado State is 96th in the nation against the run. You're going to give me 5 points in that game. I'm going to take it. I think there's going to be plenty of points if all the listeners out there want to play that over. It's on my board, and I like New Mexico to cover the 5. Those are the plays. I'll just hit you right up with my dog pick of the week, and then I'll let you have the form. This was the toughest week for me. You know, I was just shredding.
I know you're
good. I know, and then the coup de grace, again, I'll use that term, is that I had to go against my own team here. I have to put a dog pick on the board for the listeners. I've been doing really well with it this year. I'm taking NC State over my Hurricanes, man, at home, +1.5. It's a combined spread. I believe it's a coin toss game. NC State's been playing teams up at home. They've been losing some gut-wrenching football games where they've been in it. Let's just hope that Bambard, is it going to get my way to a
bamboozle
here? Yeah, bamboozle, Bambard. Yeah, let's just, you know, and wow, yeah, I'm going to take NC State by a field goal. That's my dog pick.
All right. My dog pick's probably going to surprise a couple people, and it really it comes as a surprise only because it comes out of the Pac-12 with two teams that suck. I mean, they suck. I just think Marcus McMarion is not very good. I'm not convinced that Marcus McMarion knows what he's doing over there in Oregon State, man. I think McMarion's got a ton of education left to do. He's beat Idaho State in his career. You're going to have to do better than beating Idaho State for me. I'm sorry. I know Arizona's not a lot of the bag of chips either. They're certainly not playing well. Their defense is absolutely atrocious. Both of these defenses have gotten put up and spit out. The problem is both of these offenses are not going to be able to take advantage of that. That's why I look at that 61, and I was like, boy, you know, you really would think you'd want to take the over with how bad these two defenses are, but these two offenses aren't really doing all that well. And I don't trust McMarion to come away with a result, man. Arizona's going to go on the road at money line and beat Oregon State on the road, man. The 0-4 Arizona on the road,
I got it. I get it. They're 1-9 against the spread this year. I got it. Why? Something's telling me Arizona's going to find a way to beat Oregon State this weekend. I don't know why. You know what? I haven't been doing all that great with my dogs anyway, so don't even listen to me if you don't need to. I got it. Yeah, it's been like that, man. I think I've had I'm 3-6 of my dogs this year. Not doing as well as you. I believe you're the opposite from what I believe you're 6-3. You're 7-2 with your big upset puppies, and you're doing pretty well with the dogs this year. Not so much for me, but putting two and eight teams on the board like I'm doing this weekend. I just did you think and to see a +210 sitting there on either one of them? I think if Oregon State was in Arizona this week and I was getting the same line, they just happened to be playing each other, and now Oregon State was on the road, I might just go, you know what? At +210, neither one of these two teams deserve to really win this game, so I'll just take a little chance and get some money back on a +210 here, man. That's really my logic, so don't think I overwhelmed myself with overthinking this one too much. We are talking about two and eight teams.
I looked at it too, and I came to that same conclusion. And, it's a tough week to kind of, pick a straight-out draw. I'm not saying that we're not going to see some big, big upset, but it was really hard for me too, man. I probably would have went with your game. I just kind of was left having to pick against my team. What it is. I see where you're going. I'm picking up what you're laying down. And, I hope you nail it. I really do. I'm going to throw it on my board. I do that. We do that for each other. And, hopefully I get paid. We'll see what happens. But I'm certainly not going to be tuning in to watch that game.
Yeah. No, we're going to miss that game. Just going to keep the scoreboard open and get an update here and there, and we'll see what happens there. I'm just going to have to miss that game. There's got to be a better game on this weekend. I don't care. Luckily, college hoops is starting. If we have to struggle for that, we'll find a game there too, Eric. obviously, we want to thank everybody who took the time to hang out with us this week. We have so much fun here. Definitely want to make sure everyone takes advantage of some of the big plays we got out there. Check out GetMoreSports.com. Eric has a bunch of other games written up for this week that you can take advantage of as well. And Eric mentioned again the big races for the weekend as your season comes to an end in all your racing stuff, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I've been following all year. It's been a great truck season. These young kids are fun to watch. They're qualifying as we speak. Xfinity is going to come back with a new look next year. You're not going to have all these Sprint Cup drivers competing over there all the time. It's down to the final four over there, too. I'm a junior fan. I'm cheering on a couple junior motorsports drivers over there. It's kind of junior motorsports against Joe Gibbs Racing over there. And, they're the Sprint Cup, man. I mean, is Jimmy Johnson going to get a seventh? I mean, is he going to tie Eddie and Earnhardt? Is he going to do it? I mean, Jimmy's pretty awesome. I mean, people wrote him off when he's struggling halfway through the year this year. He's answered back. He's in the final. Carl Edwards is going for his first ever. He missed it just by a gnat's eyelash, man, over Tony Stewart years back. Kyle Busch is going to be defending his title, man. He hasn't won the races to do it. He certainly won plenty during the year, but he didn't win any of the chase. He's just consistent. He's going to be there in the end to do it. And, Joey Logano, after dominating last year and then pissing off Kenseth, and Kenseth put him in the wall and took him out, he's rebounded in this chase. Oh, that was classic. He's rebounded in this chase, and he's looking to get Penske Racing a much-needed title here. I mean, because Lowski just got one a while back, and those two will both have titles. It's going to be a fun weekend. UFC, by the way, free. Free this weekend. It's on Fox Sports 1. And prelims, too. So you're going to get about, 11 and 12 free fights, man. Nogueira and Bader are going to have a rematch. And, it's not obviously, a Conor McGregor fight, but, it's for free. So a lot of times these fights are the best to watch, you know what I mean? So, and of course, I know you pop in over there at DraftKings, and we got a heck of an NFL slate, too, so. Yeah, man, another great weekend. I wish everybody the best of luck. I hope my articles and my voice here on the radio helped a little bit. And let's just follow them in. That's all we can do.
That's it. Again, as we thank everybody for taking the time, because this was
Space Throwdown. Yeah, we'll see you all here next week, of course. It's Thanksgiving on Thursday. We hope everyone stays safe, of course. Enjoy your family, man. Have some turkey. Go get fat. Yeah, Eric, man. Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. You know, of course, we'll be in touch. And, yeah, let's get everybody out of here. Have a good weekend, my friends. Thanks for joining us for another Throwdown. We'll catch you next week here at Get More Sports. We're out of here. Make it rain.
Take it down.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.